Just Me, a place to be me, where you get to experience life. Life is a journey, not a guided tour. If you want the rainbow, you have to go through the rain.
Welcome. Welcome back, everyone. Oh my goodness, it's been such a long time, but happy new school year, happy new experiences. So let's dive into it. We've had a lot of different growth and opportunities over the past few months, and we're getting back into the swing of a new school year. So we're also wanting to talk about some very interesting topics. But before we get into what we're going to be talking about today, we also just want to acknowledge that our business is growing so much. And we want to put out there that we have also started a consulting segment. So if there are any educators, organizations, community development agencies, anything of that nature that are interested in having licensed behavioral health practitioners come to their location and discuss any type of mental health, mental wellness aspects. It can include educator burnout. It can include mental health, mental strength. It can include depression. It can include anxiety. It can include resiliency, and what that looks like overall, how we can help ourselves, help each other. Definitely let us know. Reach out to us through our email at justmepodcast1@gmail.com, or visit us online with our website. Go to www.justmetherapy.com. You can listen to old recordings, episodes about educator support, but you can also check out our new consultation website. All right. Okay. So today, we are going to be talking about social emotional learning. That has been a huge, huge buzz within our education, within our businesses, and within our lives recently. I know that there have been a lot of different things that have gone on with our school and with our kids' education, where you have heard teachers talk about social emotional learning. So we're going to help each other out and take a little bit of a dive into what exactly social emotional learning is. Because it doesn't have to be with our kids. It doesn't have to be just in the school system, because we are all a part of the role of educating our students and educating our kids and our community to have happy, healthy adults. So let's talk about what is social emotional learning. And social emotional learning is an idea and a theory, a methodology that helps, it doesn't have to be students, it can be people across all ages, to better comprehend their emotions, the feelings that they feel fully, and demonstrate empathy towards each other. So let's break that down a little bit more. There are five areas of social emotional learning, and they're broken into behaviors. So the first is self-awareness. Second is self-management. The third is social awareness. The fourth is responsible decision-making. And the fifth is relationships and relationship building. So when we think about these components, we think about these aspects within our daily lives, outside of our kids and helping them develop responsible relationships and make friends and interact with their educators. It's important because the things that we learn around these components help us as we go through the rest of our lives, as we interact with people in the community, as we resolve conflict with maybe a friend, as we talk to our employer, as we figure out how to navigate relationships in our own lives. It can be intimate relationships and it can be friendship relationships. So the first two components of social emotional learning that we're going to talk about today are self-awareness and self-management. So what is self-awareness? when we hear self-awareness, our kids in school are learning about it, and it is defined as recognizing your emotions and how they impact your behavior, acknowledging your strengths and weaknesses to better gain confidence in your abilities. So let's break that down. All in all, it's about being able to identify your emotions. I know that one thing when I was growing up is that it was hard for people in my family to say that they were mad or sad. But what they did do was walk around the house stomping or yelling at the dog or mumbling underneath their breath. And so there were a lot of behaviors that indicated that people were mad or they didn't talk to one another. So there were a lot of behaviors indicating that they were mad, but it was never said, hey, I'm mad because of this situation. There was never any conversation or dialogue until maybe a month later. So self-awareness, recognizing when you are feeling a specific type of emotion. So let's break that down. Let's get into some nitty-gritty and get some examples going here, guys. What does self-awareness look like within relationships? Ms. Tracy.
Yeah, I like how you started, Sasha, when you said being able to identify your emotions in relationships, because it just took me back, just the relationship with my family, that it was a time in my life where they would not talk to me until I said something to them. So everybody's up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And just because the look on my face, or if I was slamming doors or throwing things around, is like everybody knew, do not say anything to Tracy until Tracy says something to you first. And so to look at it and hear it, like, it just hit me in the face right now. And I'm sitting here smiling like, dad, was I that bad? Was I that angry? But whatever it was, I did not know how to control it, or they were just afraid of how I did control it. Like, I'm not going to say anything to it. So in a relationship, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's husband and wife, girlfriend and boyfriend, to be aware of those emotions is very important and how you handle it, you know. And if, again, I did not have an understanding. Now, I was 17 around that time, my teen years. And that's again, that transition from one age and responsibility, because soon I'm going to be an adult with adult responsibility. So not knowing what my triggers was or whatever, still having not even really understanding what emotions were and how to express them, can shift how you develop. So it is very, very important to be self-aware and to be able to express and or identify those emotions, definitely within a relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because it can also impact how the other person thinks about responding to you.
In response, you're absolutely right. Don't say nothing to Tracy till she says something to you.
Right. And that can be like walking on eggshells. Yeah. Okay. I know when we think about in the component of being a parent and our kids, helping our kids be aware of and understand how to model and demonstrate self-awareness, think about how you want your kid to express their anger, or think about how you want your child to express disappointment. Or think about how you want your child to express enjoyment. Do you want them slamming doors? Do you want them yelling back at you? But before you even acknowledge how you want your child to do that, you have to make sure that you're modeling healthy self-awareness. And that comes with the parent verbalizing and acknowledging, hey, what I feel. So a lot of times we, as human beings, we typically go to, oh, I feel mad, I feel angry, I feel frustrated. However, in the realm of psychology, social work, anger is a secondary emotion, but it is the emotion that most of us always resonate to and go to. There are so many other emotions that you can think about, and by acknowledging and as a parent, being familiar with all of the other emotions, including worry, including disappointment, including frustration, including fear, including hunger. Sometimes us being hungry can look like we're angry, but it's really, no, my stomach is hungry. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day, but I'm irritable. So recognizing when you are with your kids, verbalizing how you feel or identifying your emotion. Hey, mommy is feeling such and such. Daddy is feeling such and such. Helping them hear you articulate your emotion then helps them to practice articulating their emotions instead of doing passive aggressive acts. Ms. Sharina, what else? How does self-awareness help or show up with in our work setting with professionals?
Well, as we have discussed earlier, when it comes to self-awareness, we have to understand who we are and why we do what we do. And how it shows up in the work setting is how our behaviors can impact others. So as you expressed earlier, it's very important that we are more in tune with ourselves and knowing our strengths and our weakness and our values, but also make sure that when we're dealing with our strengths and our weakness and our values, that it is in line as it relates to what the goals are for our job. And that's why it's very important that people really are in tune with themselves and how they show up within the workplace and how when they do show up in the workplace, how at times if those emotions are not in check, that can disrupt the workplace and you can possibly lose your job.
And to piggyback off of that component of losing your job, I know that recently within society, we're located in North Carolina, but when we think about self-awareness, how it impacts other people. I know recently there was a shooting or an individual who came onto the UNC Chapel Hill campus and their action was aggressive toward another person. But when we peel back those layers, our behaviors are very much impacted by how we feel. Correct. So when we think about self-awareness and we think about identifying our emotions to help govern our behaviors, that these situations that continue to happen within our schools, within our workplace, within the community can be looked back to see the importance of, hey, we need to check in with ourselves to see what we're really feeling. Mm-hmm. Are we feeling disrespected? Are we feeling unheard? Are we feeling vulnerable? Are we feeling scared? Yes, mad, angry, absolutely. But the initial emotion, checking in with ourselves to figure out the initial emotion so that our reactions do not cause fatalities for other people.
And since you mentioned that Sasha, that, you know, it changes the climate of the school, the students, the faculty, parents that just sent their kids to school, you know, for the first time, just being away. So now that knowing what you are feeling is going to could impact that whole school year. Mm-hmm. So definitely need to be in tune with and address those feelings.
Mm-hmm. And something Sasha said earlier about secondary emotions that a lot of people display. I think that people of today are not sure what those feelings are that they have. Mm. So as we have discussed initially when we came in on about us doing those types of workshops, I think people do not know what those feelings are, what they're experiencing. And because they don't know what those feelings are and how to dissect those feelings, it's a possibility that they are overwhelmed of feelings that they have because they're unsure what they are and what to do with them. So I've said this several times, we have to go back to the basics as it relates to really understanding what feelings are, what type of feelings that we're having, because everything is not related to being angry. It could be overwhelmed, but we're using angry. It could be frustrated, but not angry. So we have these specific feeling words that we go to, and we utilize those feeling words to explain so many things. Where if you knew the specific word to direct the feeling to, you would be able to deal with it in a more reasonable and safe manner.
And I like using when you're talking to a consumer, like to find out where they are that day. Like, tell me how you feeling. Give me a feeling word, and purposely put them in that position to do to reflect on. This is I'm coming to you and I'm overwhelmed. So then too, when you have that conversation, that you kind of know where that person is at, but they should be able to explain, well, why do you feel overwhelmed? And if they give you, well, because it's just this. Well, maybe overwhelm is not the right way, and we help, and we're able to help navigate them, but to educate them on this is a broad. We have that feeling wheel. Let's look at this big, all of these feelings, and get to understand all of them. Opposed to just sticking to, like you said, we always say angry, frustrated, and my good one. How you feeling? I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. Like I'm good, and we know when you say I'm good. You really ain't good. So you have to really dig that. Well, why do you say you good? So really, that's not a feeling. So.
And another example I have, I was dealing with a student a couple of days ago, and I asked them how they were feeling, and they said they were overwhelmed. So I asked why they were overwhelmed. And they said because I had a late start this morning. But I had to tell them, well, you had a late start this morning, but at this present time, you got to school on time. So it's already over with. So people continue to use those feeling words and they're not using them in the correct manner because what you say you were overwhelmed about is over and done and you're not in the present. So it's like they can't. Another thing is they don't know how to shut things off, you know, to be done with that feeling, to just move into the present. They're still lingering on something that is really not even an issue anymore.
And that kind of before we go into, because what you just described, Ms. Smith, was self-management and not being stuck in that moment, in that feeling, because you have so many other hours in the day that you have to go through, that if you continue to hold on to that feeling of frustration or bitterness, you are jeopardizing your opportunity to feel so many other feelings of acceptance, of confidence, of courageousness, of creativity, of feeling excited, because you're stuck in that feeling of bitterness. But before we go into self-management, one of the things that I like to encourage parents to do, and it can help them, but it also helps their child, is go online and just type up or print out a feelings wheel, or type up words that are other than angry. So there is feeling disrespected, feeling ridiculed, jealous, provoked, bitter, humiliated, confused, tired, stressed, vulnerable, hurt, scared. And put these words in a place that is conducive for your child to see. And every now and then, I would recommend once a day, because behaviors are only turned into healthy actions if you do them repetitively once a day for a certain amount of time. Post them on a wall, and every time you either go to bed with your child or you get off the bus, come home with your child, ask them, how are you feeling? But do not allow them to use the word angry. They have to find another word instead of angry. Or don't allow them to use happy. Encourage them to choose another word instead of happy. Don't allow them to use sad or fearful. Allow them to use another word. That will help them to broaden their vocabulary, but it will also help you to understand, have a healthier understanding of what truly your child is thinking about and experiencing. But it is very important that you also model this behavior. You cannot expect for your child to do something that they don't see you doing every day. But going into the second social emotional learning concept, self-management. And like Ms. Smith said, self-management is really taking control and ownership of your thoughts, your emotions, and your behaviors in various situations, allowing yourself control to regulate those emotions. So recognizing, so once you have identified that your emotion is bitter, are you going to then go and say sarcastic things in your relationship or to your loved one? Are you going to go and have ridicule, verbal ridicule towards that person? How do you show up with this emotion? Ms. Tracy?
Oh, I'll take it back to that. Why they wouldn't ask me a question until I said something to them. And you just stepping on all the right keys. To have felt better because of the environment that I was in. When you wake up and you open your eyes and you see that, that was that feeling. So all those emotions like, I can't handle it, and how I displayed it because I couldn't manage it was not good. So they knew not to talk to me. They was either going to get cussed out, punched out, kicked out, or something. So if I was able to manage it then to say, you know, to keep me in the now, that I'm still I'm in a good space, I'm safe, then I would have been like, okay, tomorrow as I get older, you know, I'll be able to move on. But just in that moment, I could not manage it at all. So I like opening up our session with having therapy for Tracy. Y'all giving me some breakthroughs today. But it's crazy because, and two, being a parent, when you talk about modeling those behaviors, that when you look at your children and see that they respond the same way you responded, because I modeled that behavior. But if I did something different, if I had control of it, then they would have been able to have better control. You know, I don't have to say I'm sorry now, like for not being a good model of how I manage my emotions, because they learned from me. And now they have to be retrained, you know. So it's very, very important to, especially if you are raising small ones. They look at us. And if you don't like you, imagine what you're doing to the child, because that's going to be another version of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we think about self-management and we think about raising our kids, a good example is the talk that a lot of Black families have with their young ones about their teenagers who started driving, or about their teenagers who are interacting with the police, or their adults interacting with the police. There are certain rules and regulations that we feel like we have to express to our kids about managing our responses when we're with the police. And so 9 times out of 10, when I meet with kids, or when I meet with teens or adults, one of the reactions when getting pulled over by the police is worry, fear, victimization, and discomfort. And so I know one thing that I was taught is keep your hands on the wheel. Don't make any sudden movements. Control those feelings by not moving. Because any sudden movement may cause a fatal outcome for you. And that is one example of how we have taught and conditioned our kids to react to police interaction. And that's an example of self-management. So let's take that into other areas of our lives and say, okay, well, how do we want our kids to self-manage their reactions to being scared, their reactions to fear, their reactions to disappointment? Do you want them to be stomping around the house? Do you want them to be projecting onto other people and saying, you're the reason why I didn't pass this test, or you're the reason why I got angry? Or do we want them to take some ownership and be able to regulate that? So that's one way that you can help your kid, your little ones and older ones, to understand self-management, and you begin to model self-management as well. What about in the workplace, Ms. Smith?
Some ways that we can use self-management within the workplace is just having effective coping skills. Mm-hmm. As it relates to when I have a disagreement with a coworker, or if I have a work task that I do not want to do, it's having different types of coping mechanisms if things do not go the way that I plan them to go. Another way is, you know, setting goals, you know, personal goals, and setting goals as it relates to how to maneuver through the job that you have. Like setting personal goals to help you regarding managing self within the work environment. And some of that can be, you know, coming to work on time, paying attention whenever you receive tasks from your employer, or following simple directions as it relates to what is needed of you at the job, or being able to work independently regarding the job. So really, self-management has a lot to do with, you know, how to manage your stress or just your well-being as it relates to being in the work environment, and also figuring out how to have the work environment work for you, figuring out how you can make it work for you as it relates to it being a benefit for you. So you're definitely being intentional as it relates to the whole management ordeal regarding you being in that environment.
I like how you added that, Ms. Smith, too, that too, when it comes to self-management, like everybody keeps saying, like the stress, because we do so much. when you look into relationships as a mother, a wife, a worker, you're doing all this stuff. Like, we got to focus on one thing at a time. Stop doing so much. Adding so much to your plate will mm-hmm. also help regulate some of that, and kind of like know your strengths. Like, if some things is too hard, yeah, it's going to be overwhelming. The more you push, and then here you go, you know, back in this tunnel or funnel going over and over again. So if you really got to do a lot of self-assessment, mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we feel overwhelmed, we project it on other people. Well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you be at a certain place at a certain time? Because, you know, I got a lot to do. What you've just done is expressed how overwhelmed you are, but expecting that other person to accommodate your feeling of being overwhelmed so that you can get your stuff done.
That's true.
And we do that a lot with our kids.
Yeah.
Just get into bed. I told you to get into bed because, but wait a minute, mommy, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more feelings that you need to process before, or daddy, there's a lot more feelings that you need to process and figure out how you really want to show up for your child. Mm-hmm. Or how you really want to show up if you have a conflict or a disagreement with a professor at school. Do you want to come with a gun, or do you want to come with, hey, let's talk about this? When you have a disagreement with your teacher, do you want to come in with a lot of yelling, screaming, or do you want to come in saying, all right, hey, I'm recognizing that I'm feeling this way. It's not going to be helpful for anybody if I sound off or pop off.
That's right.
So how do we work on reevaluating or identifying our emotions and then reevaluating a healthier way to respond to them. And that's what self-management is.
Yeah.
You catch a lot more flies with honey than vinegar.
And just really being honest with yourself. I mean, going back to that classroom situation, just telling your teacher, you know what? I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I need to lay down. I mean, I need to lay on my desk today. Or I'm not feeling well. And as adults, we don't do it. We don't do that either. If you come to work and you're not, well, I'm not feeling well today. Mm-hmm. Like, really communicate what's going on. And once you communicate what's going on, then people can help as it relates to you getting through whatever's going on. I'm not feeling well today. I'm tired. You know, once you communicate that, then the boss may say, you know what, since you're feeling this way today, why don't you go home? Or why don't you take an hour off? But we're not communicating effectively what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, we have free will. You have free will to communicate these things. Just communicate them and let people know what's going on. If you don't know what you're feeling, you're like, hey, I got a lot of emotions going on right now. I don't know what to feel or how to feel. And then that person can probably help you coach you through that situation by asking more questions. So really using those basic communication skills can help as it relates to a lot of self-awareness and self-management.
And I know to this day, I'm still working on it.
Yes, we all are.
So it's not anything as something that you can accomplish and then just be done with it. Each phase of life, you are learning how to manage your emotions differently based on the things that are happening in your life. But all right, guys. I think that we really have started some good conversations. Again, Just Me has opened up the opportunity to do some consulting. So if you would like the opportunity to have some workshops, parent workshop, business workshops, regarding social emotional learning, building team camaraderie, leaderships, different things of that nature, and really helping your employees, your staff, your children, your parents practice and model some of these behaviors, contact us at justmepodcast1@gmail.com. And we would love to have further conversation around how we can offer some workshops at your location. But until next time, take care of yourself so that we can take care of each other. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to Just Me Therapy podcast. If you are seeking further one-on-one diagnoses, interventions, and treatment plans, please consider scheduling an appointment with an individual counselor at Journeys Counseling Center, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Journeys can be reached at 336-294-1349. The mission of Just Me Therapy podcast is to use authentic conversations to uplift one's mind, body, and soul. The goal of Just Me Therapy is to offer affordable education and insight to individuals who experience financial barriers to accessing individualized behavioral health care services. With that being said, the information, including opinions, advice, and recommendations discussed in this podcast, are intended for individual, informational, and educational purposes only. Such information is not intended to substitute the recommendations of your own licensed therapist or healthcare professional. Although we are licensed behavioral health professionals, we are not your licensed behavioral health professional. As a result, the advice mentioned on this podcast should not replace the recommendations offered by your own qualified health professional.